You're listening to the Confidence Podcast, your one-stop shop for motivation, inspiration, and confidence to help you boldly and bravely take action on your dreams. I'm your host, Trish Blackwell, and I teach entrepreneurs and dream chasers to take action on the dream God put on their hearts. I empower go-getters to get past their stubborn insecurities so they can crush their goals, outgrow their fears, and create prosperity in their businesses and lives. It's time to rise and shine. Let's dive deep. Hey guys, welcome to the Confidence Podcast. I am your host, Trish Blackwell, and I am so excited that you are here with me today. I know there are literally millions of podcast shows you could listen to, but you chose this one, and I honor your time. I'm really looking forward to sharing our coaching today on confidence. And what we're talking about is something near and dear to my heart with social confidence, and it's how to be okay with the risk of people not liking you. What I love about this topic is that it works for someone who just wants just better relationships, but also with family relationships and business goals and dreams, because a lot of us don't step into the calling that God has created for us for, out of fear about what somebody may or may not think of us. And so I am super excited to share with you guys some of just what God's been teaching me in this area and how I've been walking through taking the risk of people not liking me and how to lean more into being who I am, right? And that in and of itself is risky business. I think we hear all the time, just be yourself, without thinking about all the ramifications of what that actually means and some of the internal dialogue that's making us be cautious to be ourselves. So hopefully you're going to walk away feeling really well equipped today with some ideas on how to just keep moving forward and trusting God because He made you to be who you're meant to be. Now, I'm just really excited you're here. Let me tell you what we're talking about specifically as we go towards this topic today. How to be okay, as we've said, how to be okay with the risk of people not liking you. We're going to talk about some ways to dive into taking the risk of being yourself. And then I'm going to close the episode today with the most freeing question that you can ask yourself. Now, the most important question I can ask you, especially if you're a loyal listener and if you've spent any time listening to the show and been encouraged in any capacity, the greatest way you can say thank you to me is to write a review in iTunes. The iTunes algorithm is really dependent a lot on people who subscribe and on your reviews. So if you feel blessed and just so thankful that you stumbled upon this show at some point, do that for someone else, and your review really might help another 100 people find the show. And so I want to thank you in advance for doing that. And I want to read our review of the week because I've been asking you guys, y'all have been showing up and you're doing it for me and you're loving me back for putting my heart out here, but you're doing it for your brother, your sister, the people of the confidence community that we don't yet know across the world who just have been praying for some hope, have been praying for some encouragement, and very well might just be looking for this show and this community. So our review of the week is from Al McKinney, and they said, I was looking at podcasts that I could relate to and I stumbled upon Trish Blackwell's podcasts. Let me tell you how awesome she is. I can relate pretty much to a T with everything she talks about. She's a way with her words and about putting analogies together to help people understand what she's trying to say. And the first podcast I listened to brought me to tears because I could relate so well with an email that she read that a listener had sent in. I feel like God directed me to listen to her podcasts to help me with changing the ways of thinking and my mindset. I definitely recommend listening to Trish's podcast if you struggle with low self-esteem or body image. And reviewer, I love you. I love you for so many reasons. I love you because we're connected now. I really believe there's a reason that you found the show, and I'm so thankful that you're paying it forward. You said, I stumbled upon the show, and my gosh, now I'm going to write a review so somebody else can stumble upon it and be encouraged too. So thank you, love. I will continue to spread great new content for you to help you feel just alive in who you are and free from any of the shackles of body image issues or low self-esteem that would keep you back and keep you in the bondage of self-doubt. That is my greatest passion, y'all, is helping free people from the bondage of self-doubt. Because I lived in that bondage for too many years, and I say no more. And I say no more because I want to shine in this world. I want my life to matter. I want to live the John 10:10 life of life to the abundance and life that's filled with love. And I want that for you too. Before we dive into today's content, just one quick sponsorship note. And this is a new one, you guys. This podcast episode in particular is brought to you today by my free micro course, The Quick Confidence Boost. Now, there are you guys are hundreds, thousands deep, and I know only about 1,000 people have taken advantage of this course. It's exactly what it says it is. It's a confidence boost. It's 7 days of 3-minute videos coming right to your inbox. You're going to get like a Trish pep talk in your pocket every day. And you get to see me face to face versus on the audio. And you know that little voice inside of you that's telling you you're not enough? I just want you to know it's lying. It's mean, it's a bully, and it's keeping you from the life that God created you to live. I say no more, because my self-bully used to shame me. It kept me small, scared, and in a state of self-sabotage. And then I got tired of it, and I learned how to stand up to the bully. And I will teach you the step-by-step process to start doing the same thing. Join my free micro course, a 7-day confidence coaching course, and feel the changes in your internal self-talk with just these 7 3-minute coaching videos. I spent too many years of my life silenced by self-doubt, and I will do anything in my power to help free other women from having to suffer any longer the way I did. You were created to shine light in this world, but to shine brightly, we got to get rid of that bully that's keeping you from living muted. Start your free micro course today at trishblackwell.com/quick-confidence-boost. Okay, guys, so let's dive into this topic of how to be okay with people not liking you. This is tricky, but it's been something that I have found a lot of freedom with, but it takes time. And it's a divorcing of a relationship with people pleasing that will help separate you from total attachment to really being so wrapped up into making decisions based on what people are, what actually is out of our control, right? And so how do we start? And I wanted you to take away from today that this is a process. It's not a light switch. It's not something we can just say, well, I just don't care anymore. And it's also not that I don't care attitude. It's not a negative. I don't want you to take it as cynical or negative or sort of aggressive and disagreeable. There's this people pleasing is someone who's agreeable, but there's a certain disagreeableness that is empowering, that is still loving and community based. But being disagreeable enough to speak your own opinions or trust your own voice or listen to where God is leading you is the essence of when I mentioned disagreeable, being able to stand on your own 2 feet, set your boundaries, and also speak your opinions without apologizing for them and be yourself without apologizing for who you are. I know that one of my very first breakthroughs in this area was probably 10, 12 years ago when I realized, wait, like, I just get to be me. Like that is true. Like I don't have to apologize for being me. Like I don't have to apologize for the fact that I love the color pink and I go all in, and that I really love running on the treadmill, which people think is crazy. But like, if I love it, like why am I explaining it away? Or that I love to write. And at that point I hadn't published my first book, and it's sort of, I didn't know anyone who wrote books, and you know, it was sort of like, oh, that's kind of like good for you. And I would turn down going out and going dancing and going to do things and social things because I really wanted to write my book, and felt weird to be so different. Like I really, when I started saying, Trish, like, it's okay, if this is what makes your heart sing, this is what God is telling you to do. And I remember opening my laptop some nights, and I remember thinking, oh, people aren't going to like me. People aren't going to like what I write. People aren't going to like, I'm going to lose friends because I'm not out at the bar right now, or not out doing whatever, because I turned this down to be by myself. Because even though I'm extroverted, I actually am quite ambiverted. I really do thrive on my bursts of introversion, and I needed that time. And I felt fearful that I was, by following my dream, I was putting others apart. So I wanted to give you this overview of how it really started for me, but let's get to how we apply this for you. Okay. So here are a few ways. Let me see how many I've written down here. Six. Yeah, we got six ways here to start with how to start being comfortable with this concept of being okay with the risk of people not liking you. Okay. So the first thing, I like to call this the rule of 50-50. Some people are going to like you and some people aren't. It's a 50-50. Now, you might get it to where it's 80-20, but there's literally, it doesn't matter what you do in this world. I don't care how perfect you are. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how nice you are. I don't care how many millions of dollars you give to charity. I don't care if somehow you manage to get a religious and political opinion that is agreeable by everyone. there are going to be people who don't like you. It's so funny. We convince ourselves that if I'm just like, we get so offended when someone doesn't like us. And the reality is you look at this world of 7 billion people and it's okay. Or, you know, it's a better example when I look at my dog. Okay, so my dog is this awesome Irish terrier. And I say awesome only because he's a 50-50. Some days he's this great dog. Some days he's just a terror. Like, terriers are notoriously stubborn and he's just adorable. And anyways, sometimes I'm like, why do I have a dog? Sometimes I'm like, I would never live without a dog. That's how he makes me feel. But I love Finn. And so he's in the doghouse right now because he peed on my space heater. And I don't know if you guys have ever turned on a space heater by accident that has dog pee all over it. It's horrifying. It is horrifying. It will make you never want to see a dog again. So that is why I'm mad at him. But he is such a funny little guy, right? He's full of personality. We love him like a family member. There's a couple dogs in our neighborhood that he adores, like adores. This dog just wants to play with everybody. This dog makes me feel bad that I don't get him around more dogs because the way he acts when he sees other dogs, he's desperate. He's so excited. He's like the puppy that overplays and people are like, you need to chill, right? You're overdoing it. Like, you're over friendly, Finn. But there are two dogs in this neighborhood that he just does not like, and they do not like him. And the first time they met while we were all walking, you know, you see these other dog walk owners and you walk and you pass, you know, the dogs greet. It's like they instantaneously knew. And you know what, this morning it was funny, from my daughter's bedroom, it's quite lovely because you can see the Virginia Mountains. It's awesome. It's up high. Well, we could see the walking path and I saw the German Shepherd that Finn and does not like, and that I don't even know the German Shepherd's name. That dog doesn't like Finn. And it was like, you would think somebody was robbing our house the way Finn acted. I mean, he was overkill. And I can look at that and say, okay, some dogs don't like each other. Some dogs like each other. Cool. So it's the same thing in our relationships. It's okay that somebody might not like you. There's nothing that Finn can do to make this German Shepherd like him. And there's something that this German Shepherd can do that's probably going to make Finn like him. They don't jive. There's certainly pheromones and things that are making that kind of and territory, but it doesn't matter. What I would like to get is to a point where I can walk past this dog on opposite sides of the sidewalk and then mutually be respectful to one another. That would be what good dog obedience would be. And that's what we would be working on if I didn't have my time sucked up by a 1-year-old and 3-year-old. But my point in that is, it's a rule of 50-50. There are people in this world who are not going to like you. And it has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with them. It just is kind of how the cookie crumbles sometimes. And I say that callously because I think we have overattached this like, why aren't my friends nicer to me? Or why am I a better friend than everybody else? And maybe why am I trying hard and I just don't seem to click? Sometimes we're in the wrong areas, making friends at the gym, and when maybe need to be making friends at church or at the coffee shop. It kind of varies per person. But I think what was so freeing for me, my like true confidence freedom in my personality came when I realized there are going to be people who don't like me. And that's good. Now, especially for those of you who have business or entrepreneurs out there or who write, it's good that people don't like you. If you're not polarizing, it means you're pretty watered down. It means that you kind of stand for everything and everything. Like, what do you stand for? And that's been hard for me as I've actually incorporated, if you've been following my brand for a while, I've been incorporating more and more my faith, my relationship with Christ into what I do. And that's intentional. And that's growth on my part, because I originally, when I started my podcast and my business, I was afraid of just even speaking what I believe in because I didn't want to offend anybody. But if I'm so worried about that, then I can't really serve people. I had to be okay with some people saying, she's got too much God for me. Cool. Then I'm not the right podcast for you. And that's okay. And so when you stand and you embrace that some people aren't going to like you, what it does is it gives you freedom to lean more into being you. And I think it's so freeing to know this isn't about you. It's just about social statistics. And I've worked with some people who have spent years of their life trying to get one or two specific people to like them. Now, there is something to be said that sometimes these people are, you know, sister-in-laws or family members or people who you can't avoid. So I'm not saying you cut these people out. I'm not saying that you, just because somebody doesn't like them doesn't mean you don't like, just because somebody doesn't like you doesn't mean you don't like them. We still lead with love. I want my intention, even when someone doesn't like me, is that I love them. I respect them. But I don't expect that reciprocally. right? I want to love and serve them and then also use them as practice to not personalize rejection. And so I think you can be kind and have boundaries set up if these are people who are, you know, you've spent years trying to earn their approval and you realize, wait, why am I doing this? Let me just be me. And I'm still going to love that person. They have the right to not like you. It's their opinion. We certainly can't control somebody else's opinion. It literally is wasted effort. And we need our energy elsewhere. So spend it on you, not on trying to control what somebody may or may not think of you, which is totally out of our control. So that is the rule of 50-50. And I want you to like, and you're like, okay, Trish, that sounds easy to say, but like, you have more people like you. Not necessarily. No. Like this rings true. This rings true on like I think of the coolest people I know, like my friends. I'm like, oh my gosh, if anybody met this person, they would be like, can I be your, like, everybody should want to be best friends with this person. And then I've met people who are like, oh, you know what? Like, she's cool. I'm like, wait, what do you mean she's cool? Like, she's amazing. And they're like, no. I mean, it's not for me. Okay, so that's a social, like a intimate example. Or I can follow somebody online or like somebody that I'm like, I've read 5 of their books. I'm amazed at them. I'm like, oh, everyone in the world knows who this person is. And then I'll mention it to somebody who follows the same field of what this person's an expert in. They're like, no, never heard of them. I'm like, are you serious? Or let me take this next step. There are a couple business entrepreneur online business people I follow, and I have other entrepreneurs I work with, friends and clients, and I'll say, oh my gosh, did you hear the episode of blah, blah, blah of this podcast? And they're like, oh, I can't stand them. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? I'm like, the minute their show gets dropped, I'm like devouring it, taking notes. And they're like, no, they just bother me. I'm like, what? How? And then somebody that they love, I'm like, oh no. They feel like it's such a great reminder that even two people saying the same message. So I actually just had this conversation recently with my good friend Morgan. Two other entrepreneurs we listen to having the same message. I liked the one, she liked the other, and I kind of tolerate the one she liked. She kind of tolerates the one I really like. Like, just a great reminder that some people are for you, some people aren't. There's nothing to do with what they're doing. My opinion of that person is not keeping them from shining. And in fact, I respect them, and I will refer them out. I'll say, this person isn't like, doesn't really speak to me, and I don't love them. They kind of, there's something about them that bothers me, but I like what they're doing in the world, and you might like them. Anyway, that now he, and again, let me just reiterate this one more step. Okay. You would think everyone in the world loves Beyonce or Taylor Swift or, let me try to think who else. Shakira. Like, those are, like, Shakira, I'm like, do or die. Like, I love Shakira. I love Pitbull. Like, I also love worship music. But there are a lot of people who don't like worship music. And there are a lot of people who don't like Shakira or Beyonce. Now, I'm kind of indifferent. You may gasp, so I might lose you as a podcast listener. Like, I like Taylor Swift, but I don't love her. Like, there are people who don't like her. I'm in that medium. And you can think about politicians. You can think about the Kardashians. You think about every person. You can think about even someone you think is this like crazy do-gooder. There are going to be people who don't like them. So freeing when you frame it that way for yourself, to give yourself permission to stop wasting energy trying to get everyone to like you. Okay, next thing, spend your emotional energy on your inner circle. Focus more on the people who like you than the people who don't. Because I really was long-winded on the rule of 50-50, so these others are going to be shorter. Focus more on the people who like you than the people that don't. They are the ones who matter. You are the one who matters, because this is your experience and your story, and your experience and your is crafted by your beliefs, and your beliefs are formed by your thoughts. Your thoughts are managed by your energy. Spend your energy on your thoughts. Focus more on the people that you want to be around, the people of your inner circle, your relationships, your neighbors, your family members, and invest in those, in those small things that you do, by sending texts, writing cards, having small talk conversations with the people you see in your daily life. Those are the people that matter. Spend time with them. And that goes back to me for a faith-based belief of, we are where we are for a reason. I live in Ashburn, Virginia for a reason. I've got to believe that. It was a hard decision for us to come here. You live in Wisconsin or Alaska or Australia for a reason. Now, maybe it's only temporary. I lived in Wisconsin for 6 months, and I thought, why is this? And it was one of the most challenging 6 months of my life on a personal note. And I kept going, why am I here? And I'll tell you what, I I still don't know why I spent time in Wisconsin, but I love that state. I love those people. I love the things that I grew in that state in ways I can't express. And so even a short-term location, there's purpose. There are people you meet for a reason. And so focus your energy on those people. Next thing, embrace being a risk taker. Okay, so we talk a lot about this in the College of Confidence, and I love it because I need you to know I was a rule follower. Now, I grew up in a family of two, myself and my brother. My brother's older. He is a total rule follower. I'm a little bit of a risk taker, but I still was the perfectionist, the good girl. I don't break rules. I didn't drink until it was legal. You know, literally, I didn't drink alcohol until it was legal. I went to Europe in order to have my first glass of wine because it was legal. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was a rule follower. But I, you know, it didn't really serve me that well. And there is something to be said for know your values, know the rules, but also know which rules you can break. Embrace being a risk taker. And that is saying, I'm going to be risky enough to be myself. That was crazy to me because it breaks all the social rules that I grew up in. It breaks the social rules of first I was homeschooled, then I went to boarding school, then I went to elite private college. Like, there's these expectations of behavior and standard and performance. And then it was like, but where's the space for me? Where's the space to say, I'm not going to keep chasing the dollar. I'm not going to believe I have to work a 9-to-5, but let's also be honest, it's not a 9-to-5, it's like a 9-to-7, 6 days a week. Like, I'm going to say I can do my own business while I raise two kids and live my little dream life. Like, that's risky to follow a dream. But when you can be okay with a risk of not people not liking you, you are a risk taker. Anything in life matters. Anything in life that matters comes with a risk. So position yourself to see yourself with a self view as adventurous. I want you to give yourself the character trait of adventurous. I am, I say my name. This is how I pep talk myself, you guys. I am Trish Blackwell and I'm adventurous. I'm a badass. I'm a risk taker. I am okay with feeling a little scared because it's always going to feel a little scary. Going off the diving board, no matter how great of a diver you are, it's always going to be a little scary. You know, I actually did a little bit of diving in college, one season, and 3-meter board. Like, even if I knew what I was doing, still a little nervous. I, to this day, when I do a backflip off of a boat or something, I'm like, ah, like, I overthink it. I usually just like bust the first time. Like, being a risk taker, every time you feel that little fear, lean into it. Now that I'm taking figure skating lessons with a coach, like, I'm learning, you know, some new little moves and things on the ice with my skates. They're not hard. I mean, for me, they're hard, but I'm still, you know, in that intermediate growing phase. But every time I get out there and it's like a new position, new thing or new skill, it's a little scary. But I lean into the risk. I say, oh, I love risks. I love this feeling of like being uncertain. And that, to be honest, is what life is in relationships. It's being okay with the uncertainty of not knowing what someone thinks about you. Because if you think about it, think about how many hours you've wasted trying to manipulate somebody's opinion of you, trying to have the right style, the right hair, the right makeup look, the right this, the right car, all of these things. I mean, we make so many decisions based around what we think somebody may or may not think of us. But it's also risky to go, what if I just didn't care? Like, think about that. What if I just stopped caring about this? And you got it. Then you think, oh my gosh, I'm going to be so lazy. No, you're not. Like, I know you well enough. If you're listening to a show like this, I know your personality well enough to know that you are not somebody that's just going to stop trying. So you have this, there's a sort of essence of self-trust here and then leaning into saying, I'm adventurous. Okay, next one, listen to what you really want and then stop creating stories that aren't happening. So what does that mean by that? Here's a great example. You got to dinner with a bunch of girlfriends and everybody's getting salads, but you're like, I really want pizza. Do it. Do you want to order pizza? Do it. You don't need to explain yourself to anyone because here's how it typically goes for me, at least in the past. Go out to lunch, go out to dinner, whatever. My friend orders sushi and a salad and it's like a great place that's got like a brick oven, you know, thin crust pizza, which is like my favorite. And I would order the pizza, but I'd say, oh, I ran 8 miles this morning, or oh, I ran 10, or oh, I haven't had pizza in forever. How about I just have pizza? I mean, the bottom line is that we over-explain ourselves in an effort to win approval, to manipulate people's opinions of us, just to get that affirmation that we're enough, and we can never get that from other people. The only way to get that is from God. And so I want you to listen to what you really want and to stop creating stories that aren't happening. I don't think people are, if you, like, in that scenario, if you're the one that orders pizza, no one's going, oh, can't believe she's ordering pizza. That's so many carbs and so much fat and sugar and cheese. They're probably going, dang, I wish I could just order pizza and eat it guilt-free. You have no idea who you're inspiring by living according to what you're craving, by honoring what you really want. And this also goes to saying, speak up for a restaurant that you don't really like. Or if everybody says, hey, what do you guys want to do today? And you, no one's giving an opinion, you speak up. But listen to what you really want and then practice speaking up for it. And you remember that you don't have to explain yourself to anyone. Like, you certainly could say, here's why I like it, or but not in the fear, out of fear of worrying what are they actually thinking about you. Okay, moving on. Well, here's another thing I wanted to highlight. Everyone just wants to be part of. People are not judging you as fiercely as you think that they are. They're actually more worried about you liking them than you are worried about them, about what they think of you. So here's the craziness of this all. We are all going through this like mental reboot of constant fear and worry, trying to worry about what somebody's thinking about us. And really, as I'm thinking about that person, what they're thinking about me, they're thinking about what I might be thinking about them. Why don't we just say, I'm enough? Why don't we just say, God created you? That means you're worthy of love. Like, what would happen if we just freed ourselves to say, I'm not being as judged as fiercely or as critically as I think. How I feel, my feelings about myself are my responsibility. And often the feelings that I'm afraid that someone might be thinking, the thoughts I'm afraid someone might be thinking about me are actually my own insecurities projected on them. And I'm creating a story about what they're saying back to me. Does that make sense? So when you feel like you're worried about what somebody may or may not think about, I don't know, your outfit, your hair, your body, your this, that is really your own insecurity speaking. And that gives you a great hint. So it's sort of like a little, like a ding to say, okay, cool. Like, go back and do some mental work on this. Like, that is a lie and a story that is yours, not theirs, that you need to unwrap and work through. And then the final thing I wanted to share with you guys in this category of how to really be okay with the risk of people not liking you. Again, it's risky. This is a different way to live, but I want you to remember that people are drawn to authenticity. Remember that those people who are wild, who are themselves, who are totally inspiring, I want you to remember them. And wild, by the way, is really relative. Wild might be the most timid person who's like very, very quiet and unassuming. But they're wild in their heart. Like, I don't mean wild party person center of attention. I just mean someone who is bold enough to go, this is what I like and this is what I'm going after. I want to go take a trip to this, or that they're willing to dream. Those people who are wild, who are themselves, who are totally inspiring, I know you know a few of them. And I want you to think about them and think, what is it about them that draws you? And if I did this work in my own on my own about 10 years ago when I was really trying to figure out what was I missing, why did the people I admire seem to have, and what was that? And I really boiled it down to this confidence that they had, and that's what has gotten me down into the field of confidence coaching in the first place. But because I realized that authenticity, it's permission to be oneself, right? Is what really awakens confidence in someone. And so I remember looking at those people and saying, I wish I could be like them. What is it that they have? And I realized they're just free. And you guys know my tagline, be you, be free. And that is where that came from. And I go back all the time back to that statement, because when I see people, I'm like, oh man, they are just, they got something, right? And I go, okay, you don't be jealous of them. Don't be intimidated by them. Be thankful for their example, because I'm drawn to them because of their authenticity. And so when you think about those people, I want you to realize, don't ask yourself, I wish I could be like that, or it must be so easy. You can be like that. It's simple. It's the secret to true confidence, actually. Not only will you be free to be you, but you're going to inspire others as you do. So here's the next thing I wanted to share with you guys today. What do you have to lose? Take the risk. What do you have to lose? Because we're being transparent here. This is not going to be easy, but it is freeing and it is worth it. So it is a risk getting comfortable of people not liking you. But if not being a risk taker hasn't gotten you where you want to be or gotten you to the level of happiness or confidence that you crave, then honestly, what do you have to lose by being a little bit more risky, right? I was a rule follower my whole life, and then you know, I shifted. I decided to do things differently, and because I wanted to see if it would make a difference. And again, I'm not saying I'm breaking the law. I'm not going against my morality. I'm not going against the things I believe in. But I just stopped following these rules that I had signed to myself as a perfectionist that I thought were defining me. So what might be radical to me, you might be like, okay, that's small beans. But for me, it was really radical. Because if we want to see or experience change, y'all, then we need to do something to change. Otherwise, we're not going to change. Like, you need to do something to change what we're doing or feeling. And so for me, a pivotal decision and shift happened by wrapping my mind and heart around the concepts of enthusiasm and adventure. That's why earlier when we mentioned risk, being a risk taker, I also correlated that to the character of being adventurous. So I really tapped into this. I always thought I was over eager, and I looked at myself with this sort of like a negative viewpoint. And then I just redefined the same feeling. I'm not over eager. I'm enthusiastic. And I used to try to like squash my enthusiasm because I was embarrassed of it. I thought it made me super nerdy, over eager, desperate, like pathetic, you name it. I had all these stories I told myself. But then I just was like, what if I was just enthusiastic for life? What is so terribly wrong with that? It was helpful for me to say, what's the worst case scenario about this great quality that I have disguised and pushed down? So if you have something in you and you've called it something negative, I would challenge you today to redefine it. Give it a different name. And so for me, I really latched on and found a lot of freedom when I was like, I'm going to channel my enthusiasm. I'm going to give myself permission to be enthusiastic. And there's danger there, y'all, because when you put your heart out there and you get excited about something, there is the risk of being disappointed. But we've talked about this before on the podcast. We're going to be disappointed in life no matter what. Like, so it's so funny. We cower and we cater so much to avoid this disappointment or risk. And so we try to play our cards so safely out of just to protect ourselves from being disappointed. But the ultimate reality is that no matter what we do, whether we live a safe life or an adventurous life, we're going to be disappointed. There are going to be disappointments along the way. So rather than be surprised and derailed or discouraged by disappointments, why don't we lean into them and go, oh, no big deal. It's just part of it. So I, for so many years, pushed down my enthusiasm because I was like, well, I don't want to be, what if I didn't think I could handle the pain of disappointment. Meanwhile, I lived a disappointed life while I out of self-protection. I think what was so freeing for me was realizing that I can sit in the pain. That pain is temporary and it's an experience and it passes. And from pain comes growth. From my struggle comes strength. And so rather than fear the disappointment, I'm leaning into it. And I also am not disappointing myself anymore. I was always disappointing myself, and redefining that was so freeing. And you can't be disappointed when it's just an adventure. One of my favorite quotes from Bob Goff is, make life a terrific adventure. And I actually have those shower notes, you know, those that waterproof paper and that you can write notes on. My husband and I like to have those in the shower. You write each other little love notes or reminders. But there's a couple there. And y'all, my shower looks like a hot mess because there's pieces of paper everywhere. So it would not be a Home and Garden shower, but it's a good shower. And I look at that note to myself in the morning and it just says, make today a terrific adventure. I want to teach that to myself, and I am, and I want to teach it to my children, that no matter what comes, it's an adventure. I want a lifestyle adventure. I want to make life this terrific adventure. And so I have to choose daily to be a little less serious, to be a little bit more risky, and to have more fun. And I say this, and you might look at my Instagram, or you might hear my enthusiasm and go, well, that comes easy to you, Trish. And I need you to know, it didn't come easy. This is not necessarily natural for me. I have trained myself and given myself permission to go like, hey, just chill, be chill, be fun. Like, giving myself permission to not take things so seriously is still a work in progress. So please don't assume that just because it looks like I smile big and have lots of fun and whatever, that's easy for me. Yes, I am of a natural high energy for sure. But I was a perfectionist. I followed the rules. I yes, ma'am. Like everything, every box in my life was checked. And so for me to go, I can break some of the rules and I don't have to do that. And who says, like, in good ways? Like, see, look, I'm already explaining it. Like, being, don't worry, it's not too crazy. But why don't we be crazy? And so I'm finding that the more I'm leaning into enthusiasm and leaning into adventure and leaning into choosing to be less serious, more risky, and have more fun. My heart is more filled. I'm closer to God. I feel more alive. I'm a better wife, a better mom, and a better coach. I mean, life is better. It's like, sometimes I wake up, I'm like, could it be this easy? And again, it all started. Now, it's taken a lot of mental work and daily decisions and mindset changes and, you know, reframing of certain situations and frustrations and mastering my feelings and thoughts and emotions. Like, you guys, this takes time, takes daily work. But all of it started with me saying, what do I have to lose? Why am I playing it so cautious? And I was playing it so cautious and I was living so fearfully because I was so worried about people not liking me. When I let go of that, that was the tipping point for everything else. So the most freeing question that you can ask yourself today, are you ready for it? What's the worst case scenario? What's the worst case scenario? The worst case scenario is that someone doesn't like you. Then my friend, you got nothing to lose. Because often that's our worst case scenario. I might make a fool of myself and then people might think blank. Like, if you can always go back to people might think, my mom might think, so-and-so might think, then you're always going to stay trapped. When you can say, okay, well, that's the worst case scenario. Why not just give it a go? What do you have to lose by being yourself, by being the person that God created you to be? I serve a God who does not make mistakes. And when I'm in a place of self-doubt, I remind myself of that. And that realigns me to the truth that I got to be me. I gotta lean into and let him continue to renew me, to transform me, to take some of the ugliness in my heart and make it pure. And yeah, I want to be pruned, but I was created for a reason as me and with purpose. And so were you. You guys, on that note, let's close out and we're going to honor our listener of the episode. You guys, I love hearing from you, whether you're reaching out to me on Insta, on Facebook, or just by shooting me an email. It means the world. Most meaningful, though, of course, is leaving a review on iTunes. I would love to highlight you as a review of the episode or listener of the episode. So please, 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 you know, I put my heart and soul into this. And sometimes it's me in my basement, in my sound studio, talking to myself. It's so renewing of my soul and refreshing to hear from y'all. Like, I see the numbers. I know that we're thousands wide and deep worldwide. But as far as I know, me and a mic, and you're out there. So I love hearing what episodes resonate with you, how I can best serve you, what shows and topics are going to be most encouraging you to you. So on Insta, I'm Trish_Blackwell. Facebook, I am Trish Blackwell Fitness. And of course, my email is trish@trishblackwell.com. If you haven't yet taken my quick confidence course, I'm going to recommend it to you. It's a 7-day, 3-minute-a-day video where I come right to your inbox and give you a pep talk. If you think this is good, wait till we get face-to-face, girl. Seriously, or guy. Sorry. I know we got male and female listeners. We are majority female. So please, for my guys out there, you got to forgive me for if I ever say, hey, sister, like, know that I mean brother. I mean brother and sister too. We are a big, happy, confidence family. And so you can get that free coaching course. Really think of it like a boost for your confidence. And you get that for free at trishblackwell.com/quick-confidence-boost. And one quick announcement before we highlight our listener of the episode. I gotta let you know, if you haven't checked out the newest College Confidence, my membership site, my baby, the thing I'm most excited about for this entire year, you gotta go now. collegeofconfidence.com. All I can say is it is my favorite just thing about what I'm doing. We are making high-level, intimate coaching and support absolutely affordable for pennies a day. Cancel at any time. I would just, please check it out. Let me know if you have any questions. This is my personal invitation for you to come. We are having champagne moments all the time, breakthroughs all the time. The community is just so loving, so encouraging, and so positive. There's nothing like surrounding yourself with other people working on the same things that you are. And who joins the College of Confidence? Listeners to this podcast, people working on their entrepreneurial or business confidence, people working on their self-confidence, their body image, and people working on their social confidence. There is something there for everyone for pennies a day. Again, collegeofconfidence.com. I can't wait to welcome you. And we are chilling champagne all the time because of how many breakthroughs we have. Yes, I am that confident in what we have to offer and I'm so proud of it. So I would love for you to come experience it. Now, listener to the episode was an email I got and I just loved it. And this is what she said. She said, hey, Trish, my name is Jillian, and I have a friend that recommended your podcast to me. I listen to them every day, and I'm taking notes. I'm going from the back and going up forward. I just got done listening to number 11, be who you are, not who you were. And you said to be risky and tell someone to be accountable. And I don't have anyone close to me to tell, so I'm emailing you. So I'm here to tell you I'm serious about losing weight. And this time I am doing it. Working out's not the hard part. I actually love it. It's my nutrition that messes up. I love sweets and I sometimes don't eat correct portions. So, and she kept going, but I'm gonna keep that the rest to myself. But you just said, Jillian, you closed out and said, thank you so much for the podcast. You are so inspiring. And you told me what you were doing. You have a baby, you're balancing so many things for your husband and you and your family. And girl, I am cheering you on. I am so proud of you. And you know what? Studies have shown that people who state something on a weekly basis to an accountability partner have 77% higher success rates. So just by telling me, you've already boosted your chance. Now, I want you to find somebody to report back to on a weekly basis about how many clean meals you had. And I love that you said, like, here's the deal. You got a lot going on. So let's give yourself a break and cut yourself some slack, because the reality is that having kids changes everything. And so I found that experimentation is going to be the best path to success. Figure out what works for you guys. Figure out how to get that meal prep done, whether you do it on a Sunday for the whole week or a couple times through the week. I have found that with my 1 and 3 year old, that from them to eat a good breakfast, for us to eat well as a family, healthy, clean, and like the right portion sizes, I am best served when I spend 15 to 20 minutes at night preparing everyone's food for the next day. I mean, like my fridge is kind of crazy. I will make breakfast and everything gets wrapped up. Lunch plates for both kids are put out with the right vegetables as well as for me. I used to not do this for myself, so I would have great lunches for my kids and then I'd end up snacking on like Cheez-Its and I'm like, what am I doing, right? So having my own salad and veggie burger or whatever laid out, wrapped up, pull and go. I mean, it's annoying to do at night, but I've found it gives me so many wins throughout the day. So I want anybody out there that's food prepping and working on their nutrition, because chances are there's a lot of you guys out there. When I'm recording here, it's the beginning of the year. So a lot of people work on their health and nutrition at the beginning of the year. Stay the course. And when you have hiccups, when you have days that don't go well, it's not that it's a bad day, right? You don't have to be disappointed in that. It's how willing and quickly are you able to step back up, to write that day off as, okay, cool. Like, I made some bad choices today. Now, what did I learn about that? Did I learn that I made those bad choices because I was emotional or I was exhausted and I didn't sleep well? Okay, so when next time I don't sleep well, I need to be prepared a little bit better and anticipate this craving for sugar I'm going to have. Or was it that I was rushed? Could this all be fixed with 10 minutes of prep the night before? But the biggest thing is to look at any hiccup that you have with gratitude and with the lens for learning. You'll be able to reformulate that and launch it for success. You won't be beating yourself up. You won't be feeling guilty. You won't be saying, here I am again. I keep saying I'm going to do it and here I am. No guilt. You are not allowed to feel guilt anymore. No guilt, no shame, no self-shaming. You look at that hiccup, because they're going to inevitably happen. And you're going to go, cool, what can I learn from it? There's a lesson here. And I'm thankful for this. And I'm thankful that I now have the maturity to emotionally separate myself and say, this is not about you. It's not about discipline. It's about strategy. And you are a massive action taker. I'm going to keep going. It's not a question about whether I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to let this thing make me think I'm failing, because I'm not. How do I reframe it? Right? So girl, I hope you're doing well. It's been probably about a month since you emailed me. So I hope you're staying the course. And if you're not, there's no better day than today to pick it back up. And that goes to anybody else out there listening. Remember, the small choices we make have just crazy huge compound effects. So stay the course, my friends. And Jillian and anyone else out there, the College Confidence is a great place to go for accountability in this area to help you. One, you'll get coaching from me to help you get your mind strong. And I literally am available all the, like, anytime you need for a pep up talk that's specific to your scenario. Plus we have coaching courses and the community and our live member calls. I would love for you to come check it out, collegeofconfidence.com. But more than anything, I want you to know that doing well with your nutrition, doing well, making progress towards a goal, not about not having hiccups. It's not about not having setbacks. It's not about not having failures. It's about how many times are you willing to get back up. Guys, on that note, go have an absolutely amazing day. Spread the love of just embrace loving people. It's okay to not for people not to like you. But what I tell
my daughter, and what I tell myself is that I'm always going to love and like, I love people. That doesn't mean I have to be their number one fans. They're not the right person for me. If I disagree completely with their morals or their political beliefs, that's okay. But that person was still created by God. I'm going to respect them, but I'm going to put boundaries. And I'm also going to respect myself enough to go, it's okay if they don't like me. I am meant to bloom where I'm planted and shine the love of God. And I hope that you see that you are too. Now go out there today. Go be more of who you are. Share this episode with a friend. Let's invite more people into the confidence community. Be you. Be free. If you've enjoyed today's episode of the Confidence Podcast, we invite you to check out collegeofconfidence.com. The College of Confidence is the essential resource for anyone at any stage of personal confidence growth. If you're still figuring out how to silence self-doubt or like the reflection you see in the mirror, this is the place for you. Or if you're already pretty self-assured and are just looking for ways to chase your dreams with more courage and more gusto, then the College of Confidence can help you get to that next level. With our extensive course library, monthly trainings, live coaching calls, and exclusive Ask Anything forum, you get the most affordable and accessible coaching support available online anywhere. The College of Confidence is a supportive, active community to help you along the way with feedback, encouragement, and advice. Memberships are available specializing in self-confidence, social confidence, and professional confidence, and start at the affordable price of just $20. It is the place for anyone looking to be free from the bondage of self-doubt or self-sabotage. It is the place where we coach you to step confidently into the calling God created you to live out. Check it out and join us today at collegeofconfidence.com.